Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
Who's your favorite Sesame Street character? Lovable furry old Grover?
It is I, your cute and furry at-home monster Grover.
Grouchy Oscar?
Hey, did you just call me beautiful? Never talk like that about a grouch.
Curious Elmo?
Let's see who sent Elmo an email.
Enthusiastic Cookie Monster.
Take this oatmeal cookie. It's important. It means whole lot to me. Ah, nom, 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 nom,
nom, nom, nom, nom, nom, nom, nom, nom, nom,
For more than 50 years, the neighbors of Sesame Street, human and puppet alike, have been teaching important life lessons like the value of friendship, kindness, and inclusion.
Hi, I'm Jill Biden, and I'm here with my good friend, Gabrielle.
Hi, we're here to tell you the word of the day.
Today's word is kindness. It means doing something to show you care about people, animals, or the environment.
There's lots of ways you can show kindness.
Joining Elmo and Big Bird in this upcoming season is Gabrielle, a confident and curious six-year-old girl voiced by Megan Pifus-Peace.
And if someone says I can't play with them because of the way I look, I can be an upstander for myself and tell them that's wrong.
Megan is the first Black woman puppeteer on Sesame Street. She joined the cast full-time in September 2021, and she's bringing plenty of Black girl magic to six-year-old Gabrielle. Now, you're pretty young. Did you watch Sesame Street, though, growing up?
I watched Sesame Street growing up, and I was still watching it as a teenager. And now I get to watch it with my two little boys, who are 3.5 and 1.5. But I loved Sesame Street, and I even had a Sesame Street-themed birthday party when I was 3 years old, and that's one of my vivid memories from being that young, is being able to hug the characters after the show.
Did you have a favorite puppet at that time, or maybe a crew of favorites?
I had a crew of favorite, but my ultimate favorite was Zoe. Mm-hmm. I just loved her character, her personality and vibrance. And I was still watching Sesame Street when I was a little bit older, too. And my favorite became Abby Cadabby when she joined the street.
Now, you start ventriloquism fairly young. Did you understand that the puppets were puppets? And I ask this in part because, I mean, I may have been in my 20s before I realized that they weren't just actual, you know, people. Like I sort of still think Grover might just live somewhere in a house by himself.
Grover is real, very real. I can confirm that. But yes, I did not know that they were puppets until I was much older. I was first exposed to puppetry and that it was an art form when I was about 10 years old. And that's when I realized that it was an art form that you could learn. And as soon as I learned that, I wanted to be the person that was on stage or behind the curtain working the puppet and doing ventriloquism. I never knew that Sherry Lewis was a ventriloquist. I didn't learn that until maybe 2 years after I was doing ventriloquism, because she was just so phenomenal as a child watching Lamb Chop's play along. I didn't realize she had any literal hand in Lamb Chop.
I feel like for parents and caregivers, this could go really a couple of different ways when your 10-year-old is like, you know what? I'm going into the artistry of puppetry. I feel like there's, you know, there's some parents and caregivers who are like, all right, then we're going to be the best ventriloquists that we can be. And others are like, here, let me give you this medical set so we can be a doctor or an engineer. What did you get?
My parents were so supportive. And looking back, I'm so surprised because I was in so many other activities. My mom was already taking me to piano lessons and dance lessons. And looking back, she could have easily been like, Megan, you're doing way too much. We're not doing ventriloquism as well. But she was incredibly supportive. And I remember the day I told her I wanted to learn, and she called several different library branches asking if they had tapes on how to do ventriloquism. And we got them all shipped to our local library, and I picked them up and watched them back and forth. And she took me to the toy store to find a puppet. And my mom is an educator and speech language pathologist. So she's dealt with all kinds of social skills and speech disabilities. So I think in her mind, she saw it as a way that I could open up because I still wasn't talking very much. I was very shy. Mm-hmm. So she was very wise in realizing that this passion could be a way for me to express myself.
Hearing you talk about your mother as an educator and thinking about the work you do, do you also think of yourself as an educator?
I'm so excited that I get to be an educator through Sesame Street. We're able to tackle very heavy topics, and I know I'm just training and leading the next generation to be kinder and smarter and stronger, and I get to teach my own children through Sesame Street. I know I'm creating content that they're going to watch at home.
Now, I watched some of your content a couple of years ago. You were a voice in the 2020 Sesame Street and CNN Town Hall, standing up to racism. That was before you took your full-time role at the show. Talk to me about that experience.
That was my first recording experience with Sesame Street, and it was so impactful that I got to use my skill in characters and puppetry to be able to address an issue on such a national stage that I knew children needed to learn about. And I'll never forget one of the lines that Gabrielle had. She's only 6.5 years old, but was able to explain what racism was. She said, racism is when you're treated unfairly or unkindly because of the color of your skin. And so then kids began to ask questions like, why do we have different skin colors? It was so innocent and such a beautiful conversation. I'm just very grateful that I got to cover that with Gabrielle.
Tell me more about Gabrielle.
Gabrielle, she's 6.5 years old. She lives on the street and she has family members on the street, like her cousin, her big cousin Tamir. She's friends with everyone. She has an amazing, confident personality. She's very loving, and we're just watching her learn and grow on Sesame Street.
What do we understand about our current world through Gabrielle?
We could understand the excitement and energy that our young girls have to dream big. I think children just have the wildest imagination. And as we grow older as adults, you know, life experiences, failures can really hamper our imagination. But young girls really have untampered, wild imagination. And through Gabrielle, one of the episodes that we were able to record in this upcoming season that's coming out this fall was about occupations. And we get to see Gabrielle explore all of the many things that she can be. And as she's exploring, she's actually able to picture and envision herself doing that occupation. And I know as an adult, there's been many times where I say, oh, no, I can't do this because of that. I can't do this because of that. But Gabrielle, oh, could I be an architect? Yeah, I'll think about it. Could I be a veterinarian? Yes, I'll think about it. Yes, she can do anything. Anything is possible with the exposure to the career. So I think with Gabrielle, we can learn our true potential and open up our imagination to be absolutely anything that we want to be.
When you're thinking about your own work and your own artistry, how do you know, when is the moment when you feel like, ah, oh, I nailed that. I feel so good about that. And when are the times when you're like, okay, next time we're going to change that up a bit?
I've never felt 100% satisfied with any performance. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was a flaw of mine until I started with Sesame Street. And many of the performers that I learned from who've been on the street, some of them for over 40 years, have said you'll never have a perfect performance. There's always going to be something that you wish you could have done better. And you can be your worst critic, but you can't be your own worst enemy. And so I think that's a very beautiful thing to be able to see what you could have done better. But in that way, you're always growing. I truly learned from the masters, and even them, they said, you know, they'll have a recording and they'll look back and say, oh, I could have done this, I could have done that. While they delivered what I would have thought was a perfect performance, there's always room for growth. And that's what I'm excited for the most in my career with Sesame Street is just growing with them.
A final question. You've mentioned your own kiddos a couple of times. Do they have any show ideas, character suggestions? What are you learning from them about what they'd like to see?
Oh, wow. I know they would like to see. They're really into dinosaurs and robots. There is a Cookie Monster segment where Cookie Monster, it's a parody of Jurassic Park, and Cookie Monster is like an extreme scientist, and he makes cookie dinosaurs come to life. So anything with dinosaurs and robots, they would like to see incorporated more in this show. They love mecha builders, and Abby, Kadabi, Cookie Monster, and Elmo become builder robots. So they absolutely love that series. And we've actually just did, as part of season 53, an episode with a robot dog. And so I'm so excited for that to come out, because I know they're going to be so excited to see a robot dog.
I love that. Megan Pipas Peace, the voice of Gabrielle on Sesame Street. Megan, thanks so much for joining us on our street, The Takeaway.
Thank you so much.